సబ్ రిజిస్ట్రార్ నారాయణ అయ్యర్. ఆర్ నారాయణ అయ్యర్ వాజ్ వన్ ఆఫ్ ద సీనియర్ మోస్ట్ డివోటీస్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ భగవాన్. సూన్ ఆఫ్టర్ హీ కేమ్ టు భగవాన్, హీ బిగాన్ టు మూవ్ విత్ హిమ్ మోర్ లైక్ ఎ రెసిడెంట్ ఆఫ్ ది ఆశ్రమ్ దాన్ ఎ క్యాజువల్ విజిటర్. ఇనిషియలీ హీ వాజ్ ఎ హార్డెన్డ్ స్కెప్టిక్ విత్ అల్ట్రా మోడర్న్ వ్యూస్ అండ్ వేస్, బట్ వెరీ సూన్ హీ బికేమ్ ఎ స్టాంచ్ ఫాలోవర్ అండ్ ఎ డ్యూటీ ఆఫ్ భగవాన్. నారాయణ అయ్యర్ వాజ్ బోర్న్ ఇన్ 1899 అట్ సేలం టు రామచంద్రన్ అండ్ శ్రీమతి కమల. హీ హ్యాడ్ టూ యంగర్ బ్రదర్స్, సుబ్రహ్మణ్యం ది ఎల్డర్, శ్రీనివాసన్ ది యంగెస్ట్. టూ సిస్టర్స్, స్వర్ణాంబ అండ్ లక్ష్మి. హీ హ్యాడ్ హిస్ ఎంటైర్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్ అప్ టు ఇంటర్మీడియట్ ఇన్ సేలం డ్యూరింగ్ ది పీరియడ్ వెన్ రాజాజీ వాస్ ద మున్సిపల్ కౌన్సిలర్ ఆఫ్ సేలం. హీ దెన్ గ్రాడ్యుయేటెడ్ ఇన్ బ్యాచులర్ ఆఫ్ ఆర్ట్స్ బిఏ ఇన్ మద్రాస్ పచ్చిపాస్ కాలేజ్ ఇన్ హిస్టరీ అండ్ ఎకనామిక్స్. He was a gold medalist in English of the Madras Presidency in the year 1922, which was covering all the southern states at that time. He was drawn to Shakespeare and English literature and was part of the English drama troupe during the school days. He married Srimati Lalitambal in the year 1919. He had a modern outlook, leading a comfortable and happy life. He was skeptical of sadhus and not much connected with spiritual masters before meeting Bhagwan. He worked as a sub-registrar in and around North Arcot districts, Dusi, Chetpat, Polur, Chengam, and Arni. It was during his Chetpat stint that he visited Bhagwan for the first time. He moved permanently to Thiruvannamalai in 1940-41 and was the first person to construct a house in Ramana Nagar and shifted his family to be near the ashram. He lived in Thiruvannamalai till the early 1970s and moved to Chennai during his last few years, where he left his body in 1976 at the age of 77. Srimati Lalitambal lived till the age of 90 in 1996. Sub-Registrar Narayan Iyer was a fortunately blessed devotee of Sri Bhagavan, who received unimaginable and inexplicable attention, care, love, and blessings from him. He had an inner experience that affirmed that Bhagavan was God himself. Narayan Iyer said, "It was not my decision. I had become a slave of Bhagavan. I had refused to succumb to any form of intellectual conviction about God. Hence, Bhagavan had to give me the experience that He is God." Kanakammal related the following about him. Narayan Iyer was born in rich family, but he was perfectly humble. Narayan Iyer's wife shared his views and lived her life as her husband wanted her to. When he was at home, he would often be reciting Ulladhu Narpadhu, 40 verses on reality, at the top of his voice. He tended to the cows and did gardening. The moment the cow gave birth to a calf, he would give total attention to the cow and calf. As the cow would be giving birth, he would recite Ulladhu Narpadhu. In a lighter vein, Narayan Iyer's wife once told me the exclusive privilege of receiving Narayan Iyer's attention was given to the cows, but was never extended to her, the mother of 8 children. Narayan Iyer's dedication to and practice of Bhagavan's teachings was meticulous and total. He was once posted in a place away from Tiruvannamalai. That meant he could not go to Bhagavan whenever he wanted. He was like a suckling baby longing to be back with the mother. As there were hardly any taxis or buses in those days, Narayan Iyer sometimes hitchhiked on lorries as a mode of transport, reached Bhagavan, and would even go back home in the same manner. Narayan Iyer rarely missed coming to the ashram on Bhagavan's birthday. Once he was 60 miles away, he traveled by one lorry after another and at last reached the ashram after midnight. He had to leave the ashram at 5 that same morning because he had to report for work at 9. While taking leave, he prostrated before Bhagavan. Bhagavan took him to the kitchen. They both looked into the vessels, but there was nothing there because everything, including the floor, had been cleaned with water the previous night. Bhagavan went into the small room inside the kitchen and looked into all the pots and pans. Fortunately, he found a handful of almonds. As he came out, he noticed that the kitchen fire was almost out. So he put more firewood into the fire and then set a frying pan on it. He poured some ghee into the pan and then added the almonds and roasted them. He also added salt and chili powder. He put the almonds on a leaf and gave it to Narayan Iyer, saying, "How can you go without eating anything?" It seemed heavenly to Narayan Iyer, though he could hardly believe what was happening. He obeyed Bhagavan automatically. Then Bhagavan got up, looked for a newspaper and another leaf, and wrapped up the rest of the almonds in them. He packed it beautifully, just like they do in restaurants. He gave it to Narayan Iyer, saying, "When you go home, Lalita, his wife, and your children will ask, 'What have you brought us from Bhagwan?' Take this and give it to them." As Narayan Iyer narrated this, he wept copiously and said, "How can I not remember the special acts of love? Who will believe it when I talk about it?" When Narayan Iyer's eldest daughter was to be married, Narayan Iyer had no money. His wife said, "Why don't you go and appeal to Bhagavan?" He replied, "I will never go to Bhagavan and appeal for material things." She prayed to Bhagavan silently, telling him of the importance of the betrothal. The couple then went to see Bhagavan and prostrated before him. They did not breathe a word of the matter. The next morning, the postman arrived with a money order for 51 rupees. It had come from Ahmedabad, a good 1,000 miles away from Tiruvannamalai. With it was a message saying, "Letter follows." The couple bought whatever was needed with the money. The prospective bridegroom came and was received well, and a wedding date was fixed. The couple waited anxiously for the letter that was to follow. The letter arrived later from a Gujarati gentleman from Ahmedabad. The couple did not know him at all. He wrote, "Dear Narayan Iyer, Sri Ramana Maharishi appeared in my dream and told me that I have to immediately telegraph a money order of rupees 51. he gave me your address. I do not know you, and I do not know what the money is for. Please accept it. Narayan Iyer, his wife and daughter, went before Bhagavan. They wept and prostrated before him and said, "What grace are you showering on us?" Bhagavan read the letter as though someone else had showered the grace. He then focused his attention on both of them and said, "Why doubt? Why should you not ask me? It is not just for spiritual fulfillment that we have come to the Master. When the Supreme Master is capable of granting you the highest thing, which is self-realization, will he not fulfill your prayers for mundane things as well?" In a similar context, Devaraj Mudaliar once asked Bhagavan, "Bhagavan, you have praised Arunachala, your father, as being gracious, compassionate, and powerful enough to give Atma Satchakara. Does this mean that I can even make pleas for my daughter's marriage or my employment?" Bhagavan smiled and answered, "If a person can grant self-realization, is it difficult for him to grant you simple prayer like getting a job or getting a son? If you have a lack of rupees, is it difficult for you to give 10? One day, when I was sitting by the side of Sri Bhagavan, I felt so miserable that I put the following question to him: "Is the sankalpa wish of the jnani not capable of warding off the destinies of the devotees?" Bhagavan smiled and said, "Does the jnani have a sankalpa at all? The Jivan Mukta can have no sankalpas whatsoever. It is just impossible." I continued, "Then what is the fate of all of us who pray to you to have grace on us and save us? Will we not be benefited or saved by sitting in front of you or coming to you? What use is there then for family men like me to gain by coming here to you?" Bhagavan turned graciously to me and said, "Just as a treble or arrow that comes to destroy the head goes away carrying with it only the turban, so a person's bad karma will be considerably reduced while he is in the presence of a jnani. A jnani has no sankalpa, but his sannidhi presence is the most powerful force. He need not have sankalpa, but his presiding presence, the most powerful force, can do wonders, save souls, give peace of mind, and even liberation to ripe souls. Your prayers are not answered by him, but absorbed by his presence. His presence saves you, wards off the karma, and gives you the boons, as the case may be, involuntarily. The jnani does save the devotees, not by sankalpa, which is non-existent in him, but only through his presiding presence, sannidhi. I was filled with joy even today. His presence is the most powerful thing, and that alone, I am confident, saves me."